All right, let's have some fun. We're going to talk recruiting. We can talk, and then whatever you guys want to talk, basketball, football, whatever. The show is going to be driven by you guys. Let's have some fun.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast, a little live with C5. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we're going to do it like we do every Sunday. We're going to have some fun. I got just a few things I want to talk about, and then I want to let you guys run the show from here. You ask questions. Go ahead and start getting your questions in, getting your comments in, and then we'll once we get through with this little first part, we'll run through it and have some fun, and you may have some questions over the stuff that I'm going to go over. But before we get started, let's give a quick shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code next round for a double up deposit bonus. Give them $250. They're going to give you another $250 back on top of it, up to $1,000 to play with. And then you can have fun just getting that sports book. Find what you like, live betting, first half, second half, doesn't matter. They got it all. So check them out. mybookie.ag. All right, let's get it kicked off. I want to jump in recruiting. We haven't talked recruiting in a while, and I know that there was a lot of stuff that happened over the weekend. Some of it was concerning, some of it was good, and we will, we'll talk about it all. I want to start off with Deuce Knight. Okay, I know everybody saw this weekend that Deuce made a trip to Ole Miss. No surprise, best game of the weekend probably that he could have gone to visit from the state of Mississippi. Not a shocker that he would go to that game. So that's number one, that's not a surprise. Number two, he rushed the field after the game. I know everybody was worried about that. Well, you know who else rushed the field? I can think of a guy, Rashawn Evans, who rushed the field after the kick six, I believe, and then committed to Alabama shortly thereafter. So it doesn't necessarily mean anything there either. But I think there is a conversation to be had, and just kind of be aware of what's going on, especially with Deuce. Like, look, if you're human, okay, and you're a quarterback and you're looking at the situation at Auburn, I'm sure that you would have some questions that you're asking. You have some questions going on in your head. You have probably some concerns. So there's no problem whatsoever. It'd be kind of irresponsible of you not to sort of do your homework and go make sure that you're making the right decision. With all that being said, this was something that Ole Miss was always going to do. They were going to push late for Deuce, do everything they can, up their NIL, do whatever they got to do to try to get him in the class, but they weren't going to waste a lot of time early. They were going to push late. Okay, so you're going to start hearing a bunch, I'm sure, of talk of Ole Miss. I think they're going to push really hard to flip Caleb Cunningham. I would not be shocked. I know there were some predictions that went in over the weekend for Caleb Cunningham to flip from Alabama to Ole Miss. If that happens, it's going to make it that much more pressure on Deuce because they're tight. Okay. Now, Caleb Cunningham, even though he's got predictions, he hasn't flipped yet. And what's the best way to say this? He basically commits to everybody that he goes on a visit for. If he goes on a visit, he's going to commit to that school. He's just kind of that kind of guy. He gets fired up. He gets caught up in the moment. But then typically when everything settles down, it kind of goes quiet. Okay. So he could very well end up at Ole Miss, but I've seen this story happen a bunch of times with Caleb Cunningham. So I'm not going to get too caught up in that. Although I do know he's a huge priority. I see somebody just said he flipped. Is it official that he flipped? I'm going to check Twitter if that's the case. I don't see that yet, but we'll see. We'll see. But anyway, he may flip tonight. I haven't seen that yet. If he's flipped, Ant says Caleb just flipped. So I don't know. Maybe he has, but regardless, if it is the case that he does flip, it's going to make things tougher on Deuce. But at the same time, I think Auburn knows how significant Deuce is to this class, and it's not going to be where Auburn gets sort of outbid, I guess. Okay. And it's not going to be where Auburn gets out recruited from the standpoint of whether it be relationships, contacts, things of that nature. I don't see that necessarily happening. So will the talk heat up around Deuce to Ole Miss? I'm sure. Will he probably go on visits there again? I'm sure that'll probably happen. It's going to be a battle. It's up to Auburn if Auburn wants Deuce and Auburn, you know, sees that the need that they have to have Deuce to keep this class together. I think they'll end up with Deuce. So I'm not super concerned yet, but I do know that it's not like you'd be ignorant to think it's not going to be a battle to keep him. So sorry, I got a little bit distracted. And I hadn't seen that yet, but so hit me. Let me know where you see that. I haven't found it. Haven't found that quite yet. And I'd be shocked if he went ahead and did that. So, but we'll see. But again, Deuce Knight, yes, he visited. Yes, he had a good time. Not shocking. I think he's still obviously the top priority for Auburn to keep in this class. They're going to do everything that they possibly can to keep him in this class, whether that's money, whatever. They're going to do whatever they have, whatever they can to keep him in this class. So that's kind of where we are with there. No, he hasn't flipped. No, he hasn't silently committed or to Ole Miss or whatever. He had a good time on a visit. I mean, it just happens. So that's kind of where that stands with Deuce at this moment in time. We'll switch gears a little bit and go to Alvin Henderson, who just went over 10,000 yards on his career. He's already broken the record for most ever in Alabama history. I think he becomes only the fourth or fifth guy ever to go over 10,000 yards in his high school career. I think the leader is Derrick Henry at 12,000 something yards, which is insane to think about. But Alvin goes over 10,000, and they won their playoff game. And I think he's going to have at least one more game to kind of pad that number that will never be touched again, never be remotely come close to in the state of Alabama. It'd just be really tough for somebody. It'd be tough for somebody to be able to have the longevity in the state of Alabama to be able to break that record. It's just special, special kid, special, special back. And the more and more I watch him, the more and more I see his quick cut ability translating to the SEC. Understand that there's a competition gap there, and there's going to be an adjustment period and a learning curve, but he has some abilities where you can tell it's not just a dude running by 1A guys. Like, he has a lot of natural vision. And again, the agility aspect and the ability to, he doesn't have just like blazing top end speed, but he gets up to that top end speed very quickly, which could make you a very, very effective running back on the next level. So, I think we need to keep pumping him up, man. That's a big deal. 10,000 yards rushing in high school. I mean, that's a ton of yards. That's a ton of yards. That's several miles. Okay. That's a lot of, that's several miles in yardage, rushing yardage. So love to watch him finish out his high school career over the next couple of weeks. Maybe hope at least one more week. Maybe he's got a couple more left. But yeah, Alvin breaks 10,000 yards. That's a big deal. Need to show him some love over that. All right, I see people talking about it in the comments, and I think I want to go ahead and talk about the DB class and the possible shakeup that you could see over the next couple of weeks. So at the beginning of last week, towards the end of last week, you saw some predictions start to come in for Shamar Arnaud from Carrollton High School, teammates with Juju, committed to USC, I believe, to flip his I saw Derek Anderson did the math for us, 5.68 miles. That's how many miles of yards Alvin's rushed for. But anyway, flip his commitment from USC to Auburn. And people are wondering, what does that mean? Does that mean no offered? Why would we, you know, what's going on? And this is what I think it means. Okay. You got two guys, and one of them actually is starting to get predictions to go to Ole Miss, in Dante Core and Donovan Starr, who I think for different reasons could possibly end up not necessarily in this class. Donovan Starr seems to be looking elsewhere. I know that Auburn wants him really bad. I think he has elite speed, really good player, and they're going to fight to keep him. But you got some – that's a very big class in general, and you got some guys that – Donovan Starr, who's looking around, and then you have Dante Core, who just went on a visit to Ole Miss, and he had a really, really good visit, got some predictions to flip to Ole Miss. And I think this is what you're seeing. So I think that when you look at Dante Core, who is a really, really good player, but he plays two ways in his high school, very, very good player. You look at him, and then you look at Shamar Arnaud. There's not a ton of difference in the type of player you're getting. I think you're getting two very athletic, very long corners that can play at the next level. They can be SEC corners. But – I think what you're seeing is this is sort of a if you take one and if you can't get both and you still want to have room for Naeem Offord in the end, you got to weigh this thing out. Okay, I could take Dante Core. I could keep Dante Core. I could outbid Ole Miss to keep him, or we can look at Shamar Arnaud and say, okay, this guy's from Carrollton, Georgia, Carrollton High School, loaded high school. He's got a bunch of studs in his 2026 class, and they have studs in that 2027 class. What do you do? Who do you go with? And I think instead of continuing to maybe bid with Ole Miss to try to keep one guy, I think you may just say, okay, look, we want you. We love you. We want to have you on this team, but we can't keep playing this game. If you want to come, you're obviously your spot's still safe. You can come if you want to. We want to keep you, but we're going to move on if you decide to go elsewhere. And I think that's kind of what you're seeing. I think that's kind of what you're seeing here when you're looking at the DB class. Now, Donovan Starr is a different scenario. I don't think he's related as much as it is Dante Core and Shamar Arnaud. I think you could see both of those flips here pretty soon. I think you probably see Core flip to Ole Miss and Arnaud, commit to Auburn. I think that could happen relatively quick. And again, I don't think any of that has anything to do with Naeem Offord. You're still going to battle. You're still going to do everything that you can to get him in this class, no matter what. So nothing that you see. I'll say this, nothing that you see in that defensive backs class has anything to do with Auburn's pursuit of Naeem Offord. It's all about numbers. It's another thing. You go from thinking you're going to have 105 scholarships to, I think they came out and basically said it's going to be 85. It's still going to be 85 scholarships. So now you can't just take a bunch of numbers. You got to be a lot more selective. So, you know, you can get in a bidding war over a guy, or you can find a guy that may be the same player or even a little bit, maybe a step below, a half a step below, but he's got a bunch of really good future teammates. You got to be smart. You got to be judicious about how you decide who you go with. So I'm not too worried about the DB room. I still think you're going to have a really talented class. You know, obviously I'm sure I'm saying things don't fall apart and you don't start losing a bunch of commits, but I'm not super concerned about the Dante Core predictions, because I think you're just going to have a swap with Shamar Arnaud if that's the way it goes down. And those things probably happen pretty quickly. So other than that, that's really all I have. Those were the high points that I wanted to go through. You got Deuce. It's definitely, I don't think there's anything to worry about yet, but obviously it's something to watch. Ole Miss is going to push, but Auburn is not going to be outdone from a NIL perspective. So they're going to do whatever it takes. And unfortunately, your record has made him cost a lot more money than he should. probably. But they're not going that you can't not get him at this point in time. So I'm not going to be worried about that one until something were to go down. And I don't really expect that to happen at this point in time. Let's go to the comments. Let's go ahead and hit the comments and have some fun. Stephen Bowden, you're mentioning something. I've seen a couple other people. I hope what family member Lane Cust is reminding Deuce. Now, again, I told the story. He was on his official visit. I believe it was his sister was speaking with Lane, and I don't think he realized who it was. And she said something that kind of set him off, and he kind of popped off and didn't realize it was Deuce's sister. And that really, like, you remember, it went completely dark for the long time. Like, Ole Miss has been an afterthought. But people were saying, hey, just they're going to let this thing cool down, and then they're going to come in late and push and really play up that Mississippi connection and all that good stuff. Really try to do all they can to flip Caleb Cunningham so they can try to bring them both in. And they're doing a really good job of, especially with Caleb Cunningham. But again, not super worried. There's really no reason to worry about it at this point in time. You got Alvin busting 10,000 yards, and then we got a little bit of probably going to have some DB class shakeup, at corner. But I think it's all still positive at this point in time. So let's keep going through. I saw a good one up at the top. Let's see where it is. War Eagle, Wyoming. My football bug is on life support right now. I feel that, buddy. Is there an example of a team significantly regressing in year two and then rebounding to become a championship level program? This is a fantastic question. Off the top of my head, so you a new staff comes in, you have a worse record from year one to year two, and then they rebound and become sort of a championship program. It's really hard. I'm sure there are a bunch, but like one program that comes to mind, or one coach that comes to mind, just off the top of my head, is Bruce Pearl. I know it's basketball. But if you really think about it, Bruce Pearl's second year was significantly worse than his first year, and it was so bad it was historically bad. It's one of the worst seasons at Auburn, like over the past. It matched some of the lower totals of Auburn basketball teams over the past several years, and that's including some really really bad teams. But everybody sort of bought in and believed in him. And it didn't really matter because they saw the long-term vision, and Auburn basketball was at a very low point. And we've seen what's happened since. This was another thing is that's kind of similar is he tried to build it. He started off with, the JUCO guys and things like that. And then he went to let's build it through high school. And then it took a while and it paid off. And I think, that's off the top of my head. That's one that I can think. And I mean, it's kind of a familiar face. I think that obviously I'm not saying those scenarios are exactly the same, but that's an example off the top of my head of a coach that's very close to us who had a historically terrible second year, but turned it around and ended up obviously going to a Final Four, winning multiple SEC championships. Now, whether or not Hugh could do this remains to be seen, but I think it's something that's one off the top of my head that's happened. And I would say, I mean, basketball, you don't have to quite have as many players to be able to turn it around as you do for you don't have to have as many players to turn a basketball team around as you do football, but Auburn basketball is so bad that it took a while to kind of show a little bit of proof of concept, I guess, before they could start getting these five-star guys in. And I think it was Mustafa Heron was the first guy, but that was 3 or 4 years in before he landed him. So it can be done. It's not easy. It's going to be tough. So it's definitely something, but it definitely can be done. And I would say Auburn football right now is over the last 4 or 5 year stretch is at a historical low point. So you could almost equate the lowest point of Auburn football since the Barfield area or the Barfield era to, you know, Auburn basketball pre Bruce. They're pretty similar as far as the where they are in the history of those two programs. So, but anyway, that's I hope that is a at least a halfway decent answer. Let's see here. This is funny. I hear Todd Pettiford is suiting up at quarterback against ULM. Any truth there? Hey, he could probably do anything. He could probably play quarterback. I mean, he can facilitate. He can get it done. He's a stud and a star is born. I'd love to see Tahad lefty running a little read option, you know, dishing it, hitting that little RPO slant over the behind the linebacker. And he's a freak athlete. I think he'd be a pretty good quarterback. It'd be fun to watch for sure. Let's keep going. All right, this is a good question. Derek Anderson, on a scale of 1 to 10, okay, well, I guess we'll say 1's the lowest. What are the odds we keep a top 5 class? Huh, okay. So currently we're top 5 at 3-6. There's still some big game hunting to be done out there with some guys that you're after. I would say, and I'm also walking through the commits in my mind that I think are flight risks. If you lose Deuce, it would be close to a 1. But I still feel really good about him because I just know Auburn's going to do. I know Auburn's not going to be outbid there. So I know Auburn's going to – they know this the significance of Deuce. So I would say – I'm going to say a 7. I'm going to say a 7 because obviously the record's terrible and some emotional things could happen towards the end of this, you know, and who knows? Who knows? If Ole Miss gets – it all kind of hinges to me on Deuce. It really does. But I feel at least – so I'm putting it all on Deuce. So I would say as long as Deuce is in, it's going to be a top 5 class. And my confidence is probably 70-75% that you keep Deuce, at least as of Sunday before we play Louisiana Monroe. So let's keep going. Let's see here. Let's find some more good ones. This is a good point. Rigger Spoon, all these freeze defenders, which I think that's such a stupid label. I mean, why does this have to be so polar? Like, why does it have to be polar? Why is it if you're just trying to be middle of the road, if you're not, let's fire Hugh, you're a freeze defender. And if you're not, I hate, and vice versa. It can't be anything in the middle. But anyway, I want to entertain the question. All these freeze defenders will turn on a heartbeat if we start losing recruits. I will agree that a lot of the goodwill that he's built will be lost and will make it really tough on him. I still think he's going to get 3 years. But I think a lot of the goodwill will be lost if this class does fall apart. Okay. If the class does fall apart, that's sort of what you're selling. You know, you're selling the future. You're selling, hey, we're building it through high school. We're doing what we can to build it that way. If that falls apart, you don't really have a whole lot you can point to. Then it's basically, we got to go all out in the portal and we got to win next year or there's going to be no goodwill left. So we got to get away from this. If here's two things can be true. Okay. You can still think that Hugh, you can want Hugh to get 3 or 4 years and think he did a bad job. He's done a bad job so far. That's okay. Like if you want him to stay, that doesn't mean you're a freeze defender. And on the flip side as well. If what he's done is not good enough for you, that doesn't necessarily mean you're a freeze hater. It just means, hey, you look at it one way and we look at it another. And that's fine. We got this. It's just, everything is so dang polarizing. It's crazy. But anyway, let's keep going. Let's see. Tom Law. Dad put in a prediction for Cunningham to flip. I saw that. He put that in, and he also put the Dante Core flip in from Auburn to Ole Miss. So that's kind of what everybody's got kind of everybody up in arms, I guess, or at least perk their ears up a little bit. But don't forget, you had Shamar Arnaud predictions over the weekend too to Auburn. So that's the only ones you've seen from Auburn predicted elsewhere, but you've seen other guys predicted to Auburn. So that would just be like a swap right there. James Rutan, how is Caden Salter at Liberty doing this year? Just a quick random question. He's okay. He's solid. I think they've lost a couple of games. They lost to Kennesaw State, which their coach just got axed. And they were 1-8. So Liberty's the one. And then I think I saw him, they lost to Jacksonville State too. And he threw an interception late, but I think he's just a solid little, you know, running threat guy that can run RPOs. He just kind of does whatever he's asked to do, and he's pretty efficient at it. They're just a decent team. They're not to the level they were last year. They're a little bit under where they were last year, just not quite as elite as they were a year ago. I don't know that he's going to be the guy. I'm just going to throw that out there. He could be if you have several misses. I think they're going much bigger. Let's see here. Let's keep going. Let's see. I found some good ones. We talked about the family member getting cussed out by Lane. I've seen this a lot. Rumor has it Thompson and Coleman are unhappy and might transfer. I mean, let's really think about where you've heard that from. Okay. Let's go back and let's really think about where you've heard that from. I mean, it's pretty obvious. Everybody, if as things go wrong, you're going to automatically assume the wide receivers are unhappy. Cam's unhappy. Perry's unhappy. I don't know that there's anything really substantial to that. I think that they're going to give Auburn every opportunity to, or give Hugh every opportunity to show them his plan moving forward. And I think they're all in on seeing who the portal quarterback would be when they decide, you know, to pursue that once the portal opens. So Perry's already got a number change in mind. Like I think he's going to be wearing number one next year. So that would at least tell you he's at least looking forward to being at Auburn for another year. But I'm sure this has been sort of shaking their confidence a little bit. There's no doubt about it. But I think they would at least give Hugh the opportunity to show them the plan moving forward for next year. Here we go. This is a really good question. C5, do you foresee any staff changes this offseason? So, number one, obviously you have Derek Nix, who is big time in the running to be the Southern Miss head coach. And if I was a betting man right now, I would say he's going to be the head coach at Southern Miss this time next year. I think he'll be he's an alumni. Supposedly he's got a lot of really good – they have a really good plan for, that Mississippi JUCO system, and he's just got a lot of connections. I just think he could do a really good job there, and they think he could do a really good job there. So I'm almost to the point where I'd be shocked if he didn't take that job or he didn't get that job. And, you know, him being, you know, a former player there, I think it would be a really good spot for him. So if that happens, obviously that opens up some spots. But I think you're probably more so talking about firings or hey, let's go different directions. I think that's kind of more so what the question that's being asked. I'll say this. I don't see any changes on the defensive staff. There's no need to change anything on the defensive staff. They're incredible. I don't see how you can go through the season you've gone through on offense and not have some changes. I feel like you have to. Now, where is that? I think probably it's tough. It's really tough to know exactly where that is because there seems to be several aspects of it that are broken. Do you look at, you know, hey, wide receiver, you've been talking about how, guys week after week running the wrong routes, offensive linemen missed assignments. Could you see some changes there? Hey, quarterbacks coach, He's pretty tight with Ken Austin. I would be shocked if that was the case. But, hey, haven't had much luck at quarterback. You know, Peyton's been bad. You gave Hank a shot. Hank had three terrible interceptions in his first, his second start. So you haven't had a lot of luck there. So you got offensive line issues. You've had some wide receiver issues, and you've had quarterback issues. It's hard to really fathom that all three of those guys will be back in their same role next year. So I would say I would be looking at those three and say, hey, there's going to have to be some upheaval there. There's going to have to be. I mean, you can't do that. You can't say we're good. We're going to run it back. We're good. Everything's fine. We just got to change this, and we're good to go. I think you got to. I think you probably need to show the support, the boosters. I think it's something you got to show them. Hey, trust me, I'm going to get this thing fixed. It's kind of like I talk about the difference between excuse and reason. I can give you an excuse and say, hey, it's not my fault, and there wasn't anything I could do about it. Or I can give you the reason and say, hey, this is what happened. It's inexcusable, and this is what I'm doing to fix it. There's two totally different things. So I think that you can explain why things went the way they were, and then you got to show them, hey, this is what we're doing to fix it. So it'd be hard for me to see there not be changes on the offensive side. I don't know who it would be. I don't know if it'd be all three of them, one or two of them. It'd be tough. That's funny. I bet. Let's just fire Philip Montgomery again. I agree. I almost sometimes wonder if I know I was very pro it to begin with because I wanted Hugh to be able to be the primary play caller. And I think that was always the end game, get it to a place where he can be the primary play caller. But I think he's still the focal point of the build on recruiting. I don't think he's really able to be I think he's still having to be basically CEO and primary play caller. And I think it's tough. So I almost second guess wanting Philip Montgomery gone. Should you just run it back one more year while Hugh built, and then take it over next year or you know, whatever. I know that it's not in his DNA to not call plays. I think he's always going to be the primary play caller, but I almost wonder if we did it one season too early, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, let's keep going. What OC candidates am I hearing, Ant? I don't know that there's going to be I don't see us going and getting a true offense. If let's just say Derek Nix goes, I don't see Auburn going and hiring a guy that calls plays somewhere. I just don't think that's going to happen. And I don't think it'd be smart for that guy to probably take the job, because I just don't think that's the long-term plan at this point in time for Hugh. I think he wants to be, the primary play caller. I don't know that he knows any other way to coach. And for the vast majority of his career, he's been a phenomenal play caller. He was probably one of the better play callers in college football. He's always been. So that's one reason I was excited that he decided he wanted to go ahead and take play calling over. So if it's an offensive coordinator, I think he's probably going to be honestly, this is what I think would happen. And this is me just totally guessing. I think you'll see Kent Austin I think you'll have two co-OCs. I think you'll have Kent Austin as a co-OC, and then he'll hire a very recruiting heavy running backs coach that'll be co-OC as well. Or if a wide receiver coach moves on, you have to bring in, I think you're going to have two co-OCs, but I think Kent's probably going to be the primary guy in that scenario. So I don't see you going to get in, I've seen Brennan Marion's name thrown around, a UNLV guy, and he'd be phenomenal. I think he'd be a fun guy. And I think it would mix pretty well because his is kind of like a RPO, but it's more of an RPO air raid type system, which could be really cool. But again, he's the primary play caller. He could possibly have head coaching jobs. I just don't think it makes sense for him to come to Auburn. I think it's going to be some mixture of a co-OC scenario if that's the case moving forward. Let's see here. This is fun. NH3425. When I was in school, Auburn basketball lost to Columbus State. I remember that game. This was a preseason game. I was there at that one. Pearl would never. Pearl lost in the final 4 year. Okay. Let's just take you back a little bit. Pearl lost an exhibition game to Barry University. I will never forget this as long as I live. There was a game thread on AuburnSports.com, and Brian Matthews. I talk to Brian Matthews every now and then. We used to be neighbors. I never will forget this. It was his comment would just be BU3 because they just kept hitting threes and threes and threes and threes, and that became like a running joke. BU3. But I do remember that. I remember the Columbus State game. I remember some lady sitting behind the coach, sitting behind their bench, hollering. I'm not talking about like yelling at officials or anything. She would just yell, like at a very high-pitched yell. She did it the whole game. It was the most annoying thing ever, but I do remember that game. I definitely remember that game. Auburn dad for life. Look, I would love to talk about portal quarterback rumors, okay? But unfortunately, if we talk about portal quarterback rumors, we're implicating tampering, okay, right now. Do I think there's some guys out there that Auburn has their eye on to possibly enter the portal? Absolutely. I'm sure they've got some guys that they've evaluated. You know, I guarantee if you just go to the collegefootballstats.com and filter passing and look at the passing leaders that have a couple of years left, they're maybe at smaller schools. I guarantee you all those guys are probably very good possibilities. I mean, you can throw out names. I mean, if we're just throwing out names, I mean, obviously Josh Hoover's a guy. He's like one of the leading passers in the country at TCU. I mean, he could easily level up and be a very hot commodity as a portal transfer. There's the Washington State guy. I think his last name's Mateer. He could be somebody. That if he were to go in the portal, he's going to be a hot commodity. There's going to be several guys that I think Auburn's probably already, at least in their mind, started doing some homework on, that they want to be ready if they were to actually go into the portal. So, again, we won't know in ton until December 9th when that thing opens up and stuff starts popping. But I don't know that I don't know that any, surely don't, no substantive conversations have been had yet, because it would be, it'd be pretty crazy. It'd be pretty risky. Let's keep going. This is so good. Freeze Defender sounds like a high-end AAU team. It does. Every time I go do trivia, or I'm going to start like a men's flag football league, and we're going to be the Freeze Defenders. I think that's funny. All right, let's keep going. Let's see. I didn't see the beginning of this, but Efficient Gaming. I think Freeze has to pay more to keep the roster and recruiting class than go all out for a portal quarterback, since 2025 was always the play from the beginning. Okay, so let me see if I can rephrase this a little bit. I didn't see the prior that you may be responding to, or maybe you're asking me if I agree with this. But this class and this roster, because of the 3-6 record, is going to cost more, and then in turn could hurt us at going all out on a portal quarterback. I think that's a very logical train of thought, because I've said it that the recruiting class after every loss costs more. The recruiting the roster after every loss, phones start ringing, and those things cost more. But I will say this: I don't think there's a Cam Ward. I don't think there's going to be a Cam Ward in this class. I don't think there's going to be a Cam Ward quarterback in this portal class. you know, $1.4, $1.5 million guy. I think there's going to be a ton of, you know, $500,000, $600,000, $700,000 guys. So again, I don't, yes, it could hinder us, but I don't think there's that game changing guy from a money standpoint that it's going to keep you from being able to get. I think all the guys that are going to be going into the portal should all be within reach. Now, can you couple that with an offensive tackle? That's going to be the key. Is like, okay, you got to get a quarterback, but you also have to get an offensive tackle. So if you got, could it be to where you have to, you know, maybe take a step down of a quarterback so you can get the offensive tackle you need, because those, it's all affects each other, because the roster costs more or the commitments cost more. Like, I'm sure it's all going to affect each other, but I don't think it's going to be to the point where you can't go be competitive in the portal, especially with what they've all sort of put aside to be able to ready to attack the portal like they want to attack it. So to an extent, yes, but again, I don't think there's going to be a Cam Ward in this class that is going to be so expensive that what's happened and our recruiting class costs going up and our roster costs going up is going to prevent us from being able to compete for those guys. Let's see. Let's keep going. Let's do a couple of more. Freeze Defender sounds straight out of a Marvel comic book about the SEC. It's just that you're a Freeze Defender. I don't get it. If you're not all on fire, everybody, you're a Freeze Defender. it's hilarious, but it is funny. It does sound like a Marvel comic book. Let's keep going. This is a good point, Jonathan Hubbard. Freeze has been a good play caller, but it's time to be a CEO. In my opinion, this is the best option for Hugh. Hire an elite OC and leave him alone. It's worked on defense, I'll say that. I just don't know. And I think in a perfect world, I agree. I think that would probably be the best scenario, but I'm just not sure that that's who Hugh Freeze is. I don't know. And it may be the downfall. It may be his downfall. I don't know that he can do that. I don't know that he's for however long he's coached, he's always been the primary play caller. And there's not many, but there's still some very successful head coaches that are primary play callers. I mean, look at Steve Sarkisian. And I think you could look at him and cue. I know that we're going to point to these past 2 years and say, haha, yeah, right. But I think if you look at Hugh's past, you look at his career and the offenses he's put out, I think you could compare him just to anything Sarkisian's done. I think he's just as good of a play caller as Steve Sarkisian. He's on that level when he's got his guys like he likes it. But, I mean, yeah, in a perfect world, I agree. Just be the face of the program and go recruit and do what you got to do. But I just don't know that he has that. I don't know that that's in his DNA. But we'll see. I could be wrong. But I kind of feel like I have a pretty good feel of Hugh and how he thinks and how he operates. Let's keep going. Let's see here. Let's keep going. Stephen Bowden, doubtful Hugh fires anyone by force. I mean, he fired a few guys last season. One guy, he was – Ron Roberts had a pretty good defense at times. He fired him. Obviously, he fired Philip Montgomery after 1 year. I don't think that Hugh has any issue with letting guys go. So, now, will there be some discussions and there will be some suggestions? I'm sure there will be, but I don't think anybody that he talks with is going to be like giving him an idea that he didn't already have in his mind that needed to be addressed, if that makes sense. Let's keep going. I'm going to go to about three or four more and then roll with it. I've heard this rumor too, Ant. I've heard that he's going to try to get his He's going to get a draft grade. We're talking about Jalen Milroe. Ant says he's heard Milroe may enter. I've definitely heard that chatter as well. Not that Auburn would be necessarily a destination, but Jalen Milroe could be one that I could see a very high price tag. And he would probably want that high price tag to make it worth it for him to come back to college football. I don't necessarily think he's going to be a top draft pick, but I definitely think he's a draft pick just because of his, his measurables and his physical gifts. That would just be he'd be a really interesting quarterback prospect. Hey, I'm rooting for Pavia to win his lawsuit. You kidding me? Hey, I'm hoping he gets that extra year. You never know. You could maybe get him in the portal if he were to win that lawsuit. I agree with you. War Eagle Wyoming says, does Pavia have any eligibility? At least we know he'd never lose in Jordan Hare. He's undefeated. No, he's in a lawsuit right now trying to get that. Hey, he's like, man, I like this NIL stuff. Hey, this NIL stuff's good. This TV time I'm getting, hey, I need more of this. I think you should have unlimited collegiate eligibility. He'll probably win that lawsuit too. I mean, you just sue the NCAA or sue people in college football for stuff, and you just win. You just win every time. It's crazy. Any smoke to Fagans to LSU? Auburn Dad for Life? No, zero. I have zero concerns about Anquan Fagans. None at all. Ant, this is a good one. So C5, my intel. See, Ant's got some intel, y'all. Y'all gotta watch out for old Ant. He's got he'll drop something on. He'll drop some nuggets on you if you don't watch out. He's got intel that says there's some division in the locker room in younger players' attitude and old guys settling. What have you heard? I think I shared that. There's been a couple of incidents, I think at least twice, where there's been some younger guys that are unhappy with how okay the locker room's been immediately following a loss, whether it be laughing or cutting up or stuff like that. I don't want to say there's division, but there's definitely a mindset difference. And I don't know if you can really blame some of the older guys because, gosh, you've just been beaten up for 4 years. You've had just no success year after year. It's you've kind of become numb to it. And a lot of these young guys are here to, change things. I can see, I don't think there's like chemistry issues to the point where that's why you're seeing the effects on the field, but I definitely think there's some stuff that is not necessarily divisive, but there's some different mindsets for sure. Let's take one more and call it a night. I appreciate you guys for jumping in. Let's keep going. Let's see. I want to get one more really good one. Let's see here. Oh, okay. Madison, AU Chief. We'll end on this one. This is a decent one to end on. So is Derek Nix leaving for a head coach job a foregone conclusion? Counting chickens before they hatch is kind of what set us up for failure in the first place. It's fun, though. I don't think that it's a foregone conclusion. I don't think I've said that. I just said that I think that he's very highly thought of at Southern Miss, obviously being a former player. He's definitely in the running and some of the top two or three candidates. So I think we're just discussing, with that being said, could it be a possibility? Could it be a possibility that he takes it? And I think it's probably better than, it's not 0%, it may be 30 or 40%, but I think that's still worth discussing. So a lot of good stuff going on. Definitely got to bounce back this week. You need to win. If you don't win this game Saturday, you're talking utter disaster. Everything we've talked about tonight, you probably just throw it right out of the window. If you don't win this weekend, it would be, I don't think you'd be in the conversation of, because it's just so early and there's such a big buyout. I don't think you'd be in the conversation of a firing, but it would be It'd be tough. I want to be positive though. Let's look forward to this weekend. We got a couple of basketball games. We got one on Wednesday, then the one on the following Monday or Tuesday. And then they head to Maui. There's going to be a lot of fun stuff to talk about. So we'll definitely try to keep you up to date, keep you posted on everything. Guys, I really appreciate you. 50 minutes. Great questions. A lot of fun. And we will get back after it every day this week. And be on the lookout. There's going to be a lot more basketball content as well with Zep as the season kind of gets rolling. So I really appreciate it, guys. Another great Sunday. Sunday Night Live, live with C5. So I really appreciate it. Thanks for listening. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. We're going to be back every single day this week. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening and drive home safely.